Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Any Given Game Day with Mike Carson. Just myself and Mike, Kieran O'Connor and Mike, sitting down to chat through all of the action and very much dominated, of course, by Thanksgiving. So, Mike, in the spirit of that, happy Thanksgiving. Kind of early. We're recording on a Wednesday, but it's that early. It's going to be
Well,
Thanksgiving in a few hours.
it's tomorrow, and since I'm not having any big crowds over for it'll just be me and my daughter, it's going to be a turkey pie instead of a turkey, which cuts down on the cooking time, the cleaning time, and the carving time. So the only thing I miss is there won't be any stuffing and leftover turkey, because the best part of Thanksgiving dinner is actually sandwiches on Friday. Or leftovers on Friday, depending on how much you have left.
And the possible. I do actually, my mind is cast back to a few years ago, Mike, where we did a show, NFL Only Better, and we did a Thanksgiving show, and then we arranged to do the Sunday games on the Friday. And Mike, you were a little hungover on the day that we
It
did
was
the.
probably, yeah, it has have been known to happen. I mean, Thanksgiving is such a good holiday because it's basically Christmas without the trauma. You don't have to give gifts. You don't get caught, by public transport closing down and all the roads being blocked and stuff. So you're not trapped there for a few days. And I just love it. I miss not kind of being with family that day. It's and we when we were young, we used to play football, touch football, which had some monumental fist fights between me and my younger brother.
Sure, they did.
So that was always something to look forward
Well, I guess you have the family that is the National Football League to take care of you.
to. And it's funny that we've got our Black Friday game, because over here in Britain we've been having Black Friday. It's kind of like the budget speech. They've been analyzing the budget speech for 3 weeks before it actually happened. And Black Friday started about 3 weeks before Black Friday actually happens, which is Friday, this coming Friday. So yeah, it's something to look forward to.
Now, tell me this, Mike. What was your favorite thing that happened at the weekend? Because I have something that I thought was my favorite thing to happen at the weekend. But what did you think what stood out for you in the world of
Well,
NFL?
I commented on Tuesday that what stood out for me was realizing that the red zone meant that Kansas City was on the field, so that they would cut away from a fourth and goal to do Patrick Mahomes with a second and four at his own 12-yard line, which didn't make much sense. But I
I feel
think
that. I
pro
feel that.
Yeah, probably my favorite moment was the fat guy TD with Walter Nolan on the interception
Oh, his first ever. Yes, 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 yes.
for Arizona. And then the commentator saying, well, it'll depend on whether the ball came out of his hand before, his hand was moving forward. I'm sitting there looking at my screen going, no, it won't. It's got nothing to do with that. I said, how did you get a job doing NFL games? It's so anyway, I don't even know who the announcer was, so I'm not, taking out. Although
My favorite thing,
Jerry
right?
Jeudy's fumble.
It wasn't. It was the incredibly strange decision in the Raiders Browns game that has led to, if you are online and if you're a bit of a suspicious betting person. Which has started to really happen, obviously, with scandals in the NBA, baseball, and lots of money flying around on games. If you are a Cleveland Browns fan, which John obviously is, and you're like, well, their games always go under, just hammer the under, their games always go under. You're looking at the game, and it's 24 points to 10. It's the last drive of the game. They have, let me see. So they punted with 1 minute and 18 seconds left. Sorry, with 59 seconds on the clock. They punted from the Las Vegas 34-yard line They punted 19 yards to the Las Vegas 10. Sorry, it's 4th and 2 from the Las Vegas 29, so it would have been a 39-yard. So instead of taking a 39-yard field goal, they punted it for 19 yards when they were already 14 points up. Most notably, 24-10 is 34. The spread for the over-under was 36. So a field goal would have put the Browns over, which they rarely do, which strikes me
And
as
yeah,
strange.
and make it would make it a three score game, which, hypothetically, coaches believe in two score games. We get a touchdown, recover the onside kick, and kick get another touchdown. We can tie the game, but you're not going to get three scores in a minute. It's almost, I would say it's probably physically impossible to do that. So yeah, I'd agree with you. I think John's got some connections that we're not unaware of,
It's just a strange decision, and it hasn't gone unnoticed in a kind of an area of Twitter that's kind of gambling centric, where you're like, well, did they know about the under? Like, have they been telling family members and people, oh, our aims
What?
games always go under, make sure to
Yeah.
hammer it.
It was 36-5, right? If I remember right,
It
when
was
John took it. Yeah.
36-5. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 24, and it was 36 at kickoff. Which is obviously when most people would do it, around 36. So it was 24-10, 34. So field goal puts you over,
Yeah.
which
That's
is
a
unlike the
shame because
Browns.
I can reveal in advance that John is taking the over in the Browns game this week.
Yeah, I did see you doing
John
that,
can't be with
yes.
us, by the way. You may notice a certain absence of vocal tone
I did, yeah, I did
there,
actually not. What I said was just you and
but
I, so there was assumption there.
yeah, and John has mailed it in yet again, and is mailing in the Browns going over this week, which is to me is a little surprising because I would actually fancy taking them under with against the Niners with a 40-point total.
Before we get to the games, and we are going to talk about these guys anyway, but what did you make of the Eagles kind of
Huh.
collapse, I suppose? Like, you're 21 nil up, and then you don't score again, really, and you let Dallas come back into it and win the game.
If there was something that they could do wrong, they did. The play calling was horrific. At some point, they had to realize they could not run the ball. Saquon just wasn't isn't he hasn't been for most of the season. One of my friends from Philadelphia said it was like watching the season 2 years ago in one encapsulated game, where they just broke down and bolt. Now, I've seen excuses. There were a couple of injuries. There's injuries all over the place. They didn't get help by the officials. They had 14 penalties, and Dallas only had eight. And Jalen Carter cannot buy a holding call, but that happens to a lot of really good pass rushers. The referees give them the benefit of the doubt, and figure they're there to even the playing field by making it. I used to call it the Gronk rule, because pass interference was if you gain an unfair advantage, and the idea that was since Gronk was 40 pounds heavier and or a tenth of a second faster than whoever was guarding him. That guy wasn't gay, couldn't possibly be gaining advantage by riding on his back. He was simply leveling the field, the playing field. So I think that's part of it too. But credit to Dallas for not giving up, and to pick for George Pickens for having a hell of a game. I mean, he caught every ball thrown to him. He had 146 yards, and Javonte Williams ran pretty well. So they looked good, and that just to put it back to week 13, which is what we'll be talking about. Dallas traditionally plays at home on Thanksgiving, and this is going to be a big advantage for them, I think, coming off a game like that at home on short rest rather than traveling, which is what Kansas City have to do. So that makes that game really hard to call.
Yeah, and we'll get into that, really, about how Kansas basically saved their season when we speak about them. But let's start at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, or this evening, depending
When you're
on when
listening
you're
to us.
listening. Thanksgiving. Green Bay Packers are 5-4. The Detroit Lions Whenever you listen to us, whenever you want. Detroit Lions, obviously the traditional game, get to host. Usually for years we just watched them get obliterated. But turned around probably about 4 or 5 seasons ago and now have a good record. Packers are 5-4, Lions are 4-6, 2.5 spread, 48.5 is the over under. So I guess we have talked a lot about the Lions in terms of stuttering. And like, I don't want to repeat kind of said, but like there was times during that New York Giants game where you were like, fuck, are they going to lose to these guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it looked like they were. They didn't play much defense. Fortunately for them, Jameis played a lot of offense, but also turned the ball over a bit. But really the difference in that game was quite simply Jahmyr Gibbs. Couple of long touchdown runs. It was like Barkley last year for Philadelphia, breaking those runs where you get one good break block at the line of scrimmage, you get a good one good block at the second level, and then you're through. And no one could catch him. And without that, that's where they won the overtime. And they still let New York come downfield and have a shot, at tying the game in overtime. So I think against Green Bay, their offense is going to have more problems than it did against the Giants. And partly because Green Bay play a pretty solid zone defense in the secondary, and that's going to make yards after the catch, which is what they depend on mostly. They don't throw the deep ball all that much. And they throw underneath to Gibbs and to Amon-Ra. They miss Laporta, who's really good at yards after the catch, as well. And I think that's a bit of an advantage for Green Bay. Now, whether it's enough of an advantage to this started out, I think, at 3.5 and went is down to 2.5 now, which shows that there's more respect there for Green Bay among, or at least more people thinking they can beat Detroit in what is the granddaddy of the Thanksgiving games. And it originated in Detroit. They used to do it between Detroit and Chicago and Green Bay, and Detroit would usually host it. And one year, Vince Lombardi simply refused to play. Just said, "We're never going to do this again. 4 days isn't enough time to prepare a football team for a game. I'm not going to do it." And Chicago Green Bay became the game after that, and the NFL punished Lombardi by, taking away things like the LA San Francisco road trip, make them travel west two separate times on games like that. But Lombardi stuck to his guns. He just wasn't going to do it. I'm with him. I like the idea of a Thanksgiving game. I hate the idea of three Thanksgiving games,
More
When's your
is
family
better.
going to all
More
sit
is
together?
better, Mike. You
That's
haven't
true. It's
missed.
a, it is a, it is America. It is America.
Indeed.
I like to think that Detroit can put enough pressure on Jordan Love to mess things up, but they looked pretty efficient. They have a lot of the young receivers back, and they played pretty well against Minnesota. They controlled that game, but they had a lot of help from J.J. McCarthy
Yeah, I'm
in
not sure you
controlling
can
it.
read too much into that. Like, I'm not too sure. I think JJ
Yeah.
McCarthy's a bit of a busted flush already, the poor guy. But you go Lions 2.5,
I
you
go
think?
Lions, I think. Yeah, I think they can cover the 2.5.
Kansas City Chiefs take on Dallas Cowboys. Two sides that found themselves in a hole at home and managed to, well, Dallas won it at the last play of the game. Kansas brought the Indianapolis Colts to overtime and won. Actually, that drive by Indianapolis in overtime. Oof.
No, I think. Indianapolis did what Philadelphia did in a sense. They basically could not play, as the pressure mounted in the second half and then in overtime. And that made it a bit easier for Kansas City. As did, everyone always complains about the Chiefs getting the benefit of the doubt from the referees, but it was another Indianapolis 11 penalties, Kansas City 7 penalties. Busy day for the flags, but more of them for Kansas City. And the difference, I think, in these games is, or well, actually, a similarity. Indianapolis has a better secondary, I think, than Dallas does. I
Yes,
think they'll,
most
I
do.
think, yeah, I think they'll be easier. It'll be easier for Mahomes to pass. They did establish the run, and Andy is one of the quickest people to forget that the run game exists of all the coaches in the NFL. You know, he'll run the ball a few times in the first quarter, and then, you know, kind of just ignore it for much of the time. But they ran Kareem Hunt, I think it was almost 30 times for 100 yards, which they won't have to do against Dallas, I don't think. I think they'll be able to throw from the start. So, I mean, Dallas is getting 3.5. I kind of like Kansas City, even giving the home dogs the points. And I actually think 52.5 is really interesting as an over-under here. And basically, I kind of think Dallas is going to get their 20-something. And the question is, will Kansas City push beyond that 20-something?
What's interesting, because we spoke last week about Dallas's penchant for going over, and I guess when it was 21-0 to the Eagles, you kind of thought, well, this game's going over, but it actually didn't go over in the end because the
No, it
line was,
didn't.
what was the line?
47, and it was 47 and a half.
40, I think, and I think it was higher than that at kickoff. I think, now someone could write in and tell me I'm wrong. I think it was 48.5 at kickoff.
Yeah,
And it did
and they
not
and it
go
wound up
over.
being 25. Yeah. So if I were a
45.
if I were a mid game bettor, I would have been betting the under on when it was 21 nothing, because I couldn't see Philadelphia exploding for a lot of points, and I figured they would keep Dallas in check. I mean, I was wrong about the second thing, but I was right about the first half.
But like a 21-0, the over under on that is probably 60. You know, because I know that Dallas were
Yeah.
plus 20.5 at 21-0. That is before the, so the interception, they were, so they would have, at some point they were higher than that, I would say, because they
Yeah.
intercepted on that drive when I saw that they were 20 points underdogs.
21 nothing was go to bed time. You know, it was like stick a fork in this one, go to bed, you know, get a good night's sleep for a change.
Jerry knew, you know, if Jerry's not in bed, you know, there's still a chance.
I love my favorite shot in all of football, camera work and all, is the shot of Jerry Jones looking disgusted in his box. I don't think anything gives me more pleasure in a football game.
You know what the funny thing is that he seems to be in, because you know in the show the Krafts and the Patriots, they're all at the front and they're talking. He
Oh,
seems to
yeah.
be in a box that's like there's a lot of stuff going on behind him. So, like
But
whatever kind of box he's in is a party.
everybody leaves him alone for the most part, though.
Yeah, like he's, it's like Dr. Evil at the head of a table and behind him is lots of stuff going on. Very
Although
strange.
I remember when Chris Christie was always in Jerry's box, and the governor, then good governor of New Jersey, who had a lot of balls rooting for the Cowboys, and you know, with a team that plays midway between the two New York teams and Philadelphia. He would hug Jerry all the time, and Jerry would look extremely uncomfortable when he was getting hugged by Chris Christie.
I'd say the chicken fingers were looking even more uncomfortable with Chris Christie in the box. The Cincinnati Bengals take on the Baltimore Ravens in the kind of late Thanksgiving game. So if you're up late, if you're Friday off 20 past one, no bother to you. It is 27-10, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Baltimore Ravens are 3-10. 7 points is the spread. 51.5 is the over under. The statisticians would have told us throughout the season that eventually Baltimore will get their act together and go on a winning run. They'll get Lamar back, and Derrick Henry will start doing Derrick Henry things. The score lines kind of imply that that has happened, but performances to me are still a little bit iffy. And a reminder, Burrow is back, right? Burrow's back for this, yeah?
Joe Burrow's back. He's going to play.
Yeah.
Now, how good he'll be is another question. Rust and all, and Cincinnati's O-line and all, and T. Higgins not being there and all. I don't know the status on Hamilton, who was injured during the game last week, but Baltimore really need him to hold their defense together. He's such an important part of that team, but I'd still take Baltimore. I'd still take them giving seven. It is seven, right?
It's still
And
seven, yeah. Yep.
I think this one goes under though. If it was Joe Burrow in mid-season form with T. Higgins there, I wouldn't say that. But I'm looking at their offense sputtering as well. So I think under in that game is, would be my bet.
See, my thing about the Ravens, because and if Lamar, so Lamar gets the ball, snaps it to him, he has a little look. Derek's, it's a pass play, so Derek's blocking firm or do whatever. He looks up, he
He
can't run.
doesn't. He never really blocks, does he?
No, well, he's meant to, shall we say. But is Mark Andrews still like his top receiver? Like, is that who he's throwing the ball to in 2025?
That's where they're going to. That's, I think, where they're going to do really well against Cincinnati. I think tight ends is a weakness for Cincinnati, and not just Mark Andrews, but Isaiah Likely is there. And the two of them are likely to get a lot of catch opportunities.
You mean Isaiah likely to get a lot of chat
Yes.
opportunities? Yes, thank you. Yes, we'll set that up for you. I guess my point is that do the Ravens have a wide receiver core that can actually challenge for much this year?
I like Zay Flowers a lot. They don't seem to be able to get him the ball in a lot of open situations this year. Bateman flatters to deceive and has done, I think, since he came into the league. So that's why I think tight ends are going to be the big thing. And it would be nice to get a big game out of Derrick Henry, but he doesn't really seem to have, kind of like Saquon. I think he was overused last year. He doesn't seem to have the same kind of burst that he normally has on first contact. And like I said, they've lined him up to block in a lot of situations. And I watch his blocking, and his blocking is not particularly enthusiastic would be
No,
the
well, I mean,
nicest
maybe
way I
he
could
shouldn't be
describe it.
blocking, you know? Maybe
Well,
he should.
yeah, save yourself for the runs, which is what Matt,
Exactamundo.
they got Ricard there, who's 290 pounds of blocking excitement. But
Sorry, I think my headphones caused a big screech there. Did you hear that?
no, thank
No,
God.
okay. All right. Okay. To this new, when they start 2 years ago, this Friday game.
Friday, yeah, Black Friday.
Nothing wrong with it, Mike. Nothing wrong with it. We love it. 8 o'clock, great time for us as well. Friday, 8 o'clock. Crack open the beers, boys. Chicago
Yeah.
Bears at the Philadelphia Eagles. 27-10, the Chicago Bears. Philadelphia Eagles 3-10. 7-point spread. 44.5 is the over under. When we did our kind of mid-season review thing, we sort of said, who has really impressed you so much that you were like, fucking hell, I can't believe they're coming from here? And we were like, Jacksonville Jaguars or Indianapolis Colts. And that's who we mainly talked about. And I did find that a couple of people said to me, well, what about the Bears? And I said, well, look, the Bears are coming into a tough period where they're actually going to have to play some really good teams. And that's when we'll find out about them. And I mean, they're holding their own, Mike.
Yeah. And this is a really big one. Because if there's ever a time to get Philadelphia, this would be the time, and you could say that that the Eagles, who basically only Well, they played one half of offense last week, and they kind of do that each week, are still laying seven against Chicago. I think Chicago is not as good as the record looks. They force a lot of turnovers, but turnovers remain kind of random. And I think that means that the onus is on Chicago's offense to play at a better level, I think, than they did against Pittsburgh last week. Giving up the strip sack early in the game was really kind of a sign of a quarterback let down, and now every quarterback's got them, so I wouldn't make too much about it because I like the way that Ben Johnson has kind of created a disciplined offense which probably a lot of people never thought would be possible with Caleb Williams. But I'm not sure that that's quite enough in the end to make me want to take them, even getting seven against the Eagles. And I think it'll be a close game, actually. So I think if you're, I think you're probably better off betting Chicago plus seven than you are betting Philadelphia against it. Although I think Philadelphia is still going to win the game.
Interesting. 44.5 over under. What do you think?
That's going to go just over.
Nice. 6 o'clock games on Sunday. Obviously, a little less games on, which is not a bad thing when you're watching Red Zone, because sometimes, you have a bet in a game and, he never calls anything out about it. You're like, wait, what happened? Like, when? What story? I had the Saints. I had a bet in the Saints Falcons game, and like shit was happening, and like they were like 10 minutes later, like, oh, by the way, there was a touchdown in it. You're like, what? Anyway, that's my complaint of the day. Complaint of the day brought to you by Kieran. Houston Texans take on the Indianapolis Colts at 6 o'clock on Sunday. Houston
That's a good
Texans are
one.
7-4. The Colts are 4-9. 4.5 is spread. 44.5 is the over under. What's the good the game or the spread
The
for both?
Texans are a really good pass rushing team and good defensive team overall. But they'll look at Kansas City's formula, which was basically to hold Jonathan Taylor in check. And it was almost like they were run blitzing when they were, and then blitz like hell when it was a passing down. And take the risk that Daniel Jones wasn't going to beat them throwing downfield. And I suspect the Texans' game plan is going to be pretty much the same. Now the question is whether they'll have enough offense to take advantage of that. CJ Stroud might be back. I think that's the key thing. And
Is he going
also
to start?
that I don't know.
Questions there already, yeah, let's
Yeah,
be honest.
but it's they who'd they beat with Davis Mills this week last week?
Hold on.
Who to oh they beat Buffalo on Thursday night
That's right, yes.
with Davis Mills at quarterback. So
We did a whole
you'd
thing
think,
about how Buffalo would win.
yeah. You'd think they'd be able to do something more. The only thing I really think might get in the way is that Indianapolis is at home, and on that kind of fast surface, they might play better. What Indianapolis lack are receivers. Pittman
Yeah,
is
I
a
mean, we were
good
talking about with the
receiver, but
Ravens, but
he's,
they definitely, they're very reliant
yeah.
on Jonathan Taylor. Very reliant.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's how you stop them. And Texas is probably, Houston is probably, equipped to do that. They're getting 4.5. That might be a good bet.
And in an incredible segue, because we mentioned the Bills, we're going to chat about the Buffalo Bills at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Buffalo Bills 1-2, the Steelers 13-8. 3.5 is the spread in favor of the Bills. 47.5 is the over/under. Right, see, two strange teams. That's what I'm going to call them. Pittsburgh obviously came out of the season, started really strong, flying top AFC, and now falling away a little bit. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers was injured last weekend, and actually there was a, I don't know if you saw, but there was a play where they were like lined up completely wrong, and they showed him on the sideline. He's kind of got his head in his hands. He's like shouting, "No, Mason, no!" Like, no one else
That was
seemed to
just for
notice.
show. That was just for show.
Yeah, he's happy enough with him fucking up. The Bills, though, I mean, you just do not know. They've lost to the Patriots. They've lost to Houston. They went and beat Kansas. You're like, well, are the real Bills ever going to stand up? They're very dangerous at the back, if you ask me.
This is a big game for them because a win, and I mean, New England should be able to win the Monday night game against the Giants. But right now they're missing both starters on the left side of their line, both rookies. And this could be the kind of game where the stuff that's gone right for them and the games they've hung in, they really had to hang in and scrape a win last week. this could be a trap game for them. And if they lose and the Bills win, then the Bills are one game behind. But if the Bills lose to Pittsburgh, then the Bills are really then in the wild card chase and not in a kind of pole position in the wild card chase. Especially if Baltimore win as well, and Pittsburgh and Baltimore are running neck to neck, neck and neck in the North, and you've got the three teams in the West. The Bills could find. Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong division. I'm in the wrong the West. I'm in the wrong. Well, not totally, because
Not
you've got
totally.
Kansas City and the Chargers both with a chance to go up in that. So yeah, it's a real must win for them and for Pittsburgh as well. And you would say, in the perfect world of our expectations back in September, that this is a win for the Bills. But I'm not so sure with Pittsburgh getting points at home. Even if Mason Rudolph's the quarterback, they can't stop the run, Buffalo. And Pittsburgh's quite content to run the ball as much as possible.
Yeah, and they got a good RB. They do. I'm just looking. Like, say, if the Bills were to win, Patriots win, you've got Bills Bengals next weekend, which you'd expect the Bills to win that one. Then it's Patriots Bills on December 14th. Could be a massive game.
It could be massive, but by then, if New England win this week, and then they have the bye, I think the next week, they're sitting kind of pretty at that point. And they're certainly in the playoffs, whether they win or lose. I keep saying 13-4 was kind of like the worst case scenario for them at 10-2, which would be 3-3-2 in the last five games. It could go wrong because of the injuries and all, but still, they're in the catbird seat, really, in the AFC. Even ahead of Denver, who I think things are going to start catching up to them, although probably not in Sunday on Sunday
Well,
Night
that's it.
Football
You segue.
against Washington.
Segues this week are amazing. Like John doesn't even need to be here. I mean, as we know, the man fucks, but he doesn't give me segues like this. Denver Broncos against Washington Commanders. That last game was great.
You sound like Bobby Kennedy's writing poems to Olivia Nuzzi.
I tell you what, if anyone who's listening will, well, I mean, they'll get the Bobby Kennedy reference, but the rest of it, that's gone way over people's heads, I'd say.
No.
The Denver Broncos are 1-3. The Washington Commanders are 9-4, 5.5 is the spread, 43.5 is the over under. Like, Mike, if you're saying things are going to start catching up with the Denver Broncos, there's not a lot of weeks left for things to catch up with them.
That's true. And I think their defense is going to prove too much for Washington. The line went down. It started out at 6.5 and has gone down to 5.5. But I just don't see it, to be honest. Whatever limitations you might think Bo Nix has, Peyton certainly manages them pretty well. They really do pick and poke at you, find good avenues, and Nix is good enough in that short passing game to take advantage of them. And their defense is really good and puts a lot of pressure on you. And it's not just from the edges, but it comes from everywhere. Vance Joseph is really good at taking advantage of having two fast edge rushers and then making the rest of the defense work for him. So, I mean, I would take Denver here against the home dogs. 5.5 doesn't really, 6.5 you might question a bit, but 5.5, I think it makes it a bit easier to like Denver. And
Okay,
43.5 is
okay.
pretty well balanced as an
Okay, that's the
over-under.
last one. Just a reminder to everyone. Balanced, yeah. We don't do balanced over or under, Mike.
Yeah, that's true. In the end, I think I go over in this one.
Love it. C'est la vie, as Bewitched said. I think they made that up. Before we do best bets of the weekend, just a reminder, if you are listening and you're enjoying us, please hit that subscribe button. Give us now a like or a comment. Keep the show going. We do enjoy, we love doing it, and we want to keep doing it for as long as we
We
can. Mike,
can.
give us the results
Last
of last week's while
week.
I pick. Yeah.
Right. In last week, competition. Kieran O'Connor was over on Minnesota Green Bay, and it wasn't a big over. It was 41-5, but the game was 23-6. So the underplayed there. I was under in New England Cincinnati at 51-5, and that came close, 46 points, 26-20, but it was okay. And John, as usual, was under in Cleveland, and we went through
Fucking
that a
asterisks
little
on that one, let
earlier.
me tell you.
Yeah,
Asterisks on
we
that
went
one.
through that a little. So the standings right now show that John remains number one at 8-4. I'm 7-5, and Kieran is 6-6. So they're nicely
This is.
stacked in order there.
I'm not
And
happy
John
at
this
all.
week
I'm really not.
has phoned in again, as I said, or as we said, San Francisco Cle at Cleveland, and he actually wants to go over 40 points in this one,
Okay.
which I
Willow.
think I'm sorely tempted to take the under this one, kind of take him on head to head. San Francisco managed 20 against Carolina and held Carolina to 9. So I could see that one going under.
Okay. What have you got, though?
But that's not what do I got? I've got, I think, Baltimore Cincinnati going under 51-5.
Okay. I have the Raiders Chargers going under 41-5 because the Raiders are dog shit, just so we're all clear. Like, Geno is floundering there. And I don't really get
No, it's
what's
not. Yeah,
going on there?
I feel sorry for Geno because they've got no offensive line. That, I mean, that's the bit. They fired Chip Kelly. I don't know, I'm not sure whether Chip Kelly would be, can be to blame for all of this, but basically Geno's hung out to dry week after week, and that's not a great situation for him. But I agree. I only had three games wrong straight up last week, but one of them was Cleveland and the Raiders, and I thought long and hard about that, and then I just thought, no, Shedeur Sanders is a third string quarterback, and in fairness, he played like a third string quarterback, but he made enough plays, and the defense kept them in that. I mean, that game was completely controlled, almost
It
from
was 14
almost start to
3.
finish.
Yeah, I mean, it was 14 nil in the first
Yeah,
quarter. And then it
yeah.
was the Raiders scored 3 points at some point in the second quarter, and then they never scored again. Geno got sacked, I think 11. I'd have to double check it.
Well, Garrett had three of them, and Malik Collins had two and a half. And that was the story of the game. They couldn't put together any offense. And and when they did, Jerry Jeudy fumbled the ball.
Yeah, but they had wide open as well a couple of times, and there was routes that were ran just slightly off, and it seems like, oh, I don't know, like I don't think Pistol Pete's it seems to be just a reset. Maybe Geno needs to go, probably Pete Carroll maybe mightn't get another year there. Maybe they just need to look at exactly
Yeah,
what
I
they
think
want to
they'd
do.
probably give Pete another year, but I think they need to also sit back and figure out who it was who. Yeah, yes, they've had injuries to the line, but even so, it's like you've got to at least have someone you can play through with. And it sounded like I said Jerry Jeudy fumbled the ball, killing the Raiders. Of course, he fumbled the ball, and that hurt the Browns. Or else it probably would have been a bigger win for them. But there you go, slip of the tongue, as Robert Kennedy said to Olivia Nuzzi.
I'm gonna have to look up these letters, Mike. They sound like they were filthy. Were they absolutely filthy? Well, I
They
liked
were.
them. Little weekend for myself,
There's
lightly.
a real funny article about it at The Ringer this week. Worth reading.
See,
It's a
we
qu in
are
the form of
highbrow.
a question and answer. We are, yeah, considering neither of us have any brow left, it's,
It's true. Well, bald. Yeah, you for different reasons. And that's
Yeah,
it.
how do you
Look,
like
that
the
it's
beard, by the way? For all you listeners who don't have video because there isn't any, how do you like the beard?
I like the beard, yeah. I like the beard. Yeah. You're
Yeah,
looking okay.
I actually went and had it trimmed just to see, how it would look. not just growing wild, but we're coming up to a clutch, the crisis time when you'd have to decide whether you're going to cut it or leave it be, or should you stay or should you go?
No, I like it. I like it, especially with the hair shaved, cut like, you're looking fresh. That's it. We're gonna
Fresh
go.
Mike. That's my whole new nickname now. No more Iron Mike.
No
It's going
more
to be
Iron
Fresh
Mike.
Mike. Fresh Mike.
That is it for this week on Any Given Game Day with Mike Carlson. We'll be back next week to look at the games. Do hope you enjoy Thanksgiving. There's so much to really get into there. There's three games on Thanksgiving. There's one on the Friday. You got a regular sort of slate on Sunday. Bring it all the way through. Absolutely fantastic. Should be a wonderful weekend for those of us who love American football. We will talk to you next week. All the best with all those bets. Bye for now.